You're listening to a Mornings with Kelly and Steve podcast. Be sure to check us out every weekday morning from 6 to 9 on Moody Radio. Hi, Nancy.
Good morning, Kelly, and good morning, Steve.
We are glad that we were able to connect with you this morning because this is an important question that you had pitched our way, and it is one that is often overlooked. And I shared a little bit of an anecdote earlier about Vodi Bakum, who had said, you know, yes, without repentance, there is no saving faith. You can't have it. It's just, it is a requirement of you entering into salvation in that moment. Yeah, regeneration and all that stuff, but repentance is necessary. Goodness gracious.
I was
loving it when I saw the question.
Well, it is, because there's no such thing as a simple gospel, you know, and that goes along with it. And it's forgotten by so many people, you know. It's about filling those pews, sadly, and for many. And that's, I think, what Vodi was talking about. I heard your discussion earlier on that, and right on. I mean, it is part of the gospel, and it's the part where we lay our flesh down, and that hurts. So, you know, so many times people think as well, it's just easier to not repent, you know, and just play the Christian card, and it just doesn't work that way.
No.
As you mentioned earlier, you know, then all of a sudden we feel distant to God and wonder why, but you know, this whole idea of genuine repentance is necessary with the gift that God gave us to make it happen, and that's with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit in us, God's Spirit in us, is the one that convicts us of our sin. And so repentance, therefore, involves knowing in our heart that our pattern of sinning is wrong. And I have sinned is what God's wanting us to see. I have sinned, and I have sinned against God, and God is grieved from it. And, you know, there's no attempt to justify our sinful behavior by rationalizing that our sin or our sinful lifestyle is okay because I'm tired, I work hard, you know, I'm angry, I deserve to be angry because of X, Y, and Z, or blaming it on someone else. I sin because he made me to, you know, and I think that's what makes it so challenging and so real and so deep, as you were mentioning earlier, because true Christian repentance involves profound remorse over the offense that we committed. Again, it's against God, and a strong desire to turn away from sin or a sinful way of life and live a life that reflects God's nature as we bring the glory to Him. So it's the choice that we make, and we can make that choice through the work of the Holy Spirit. We clearly cannot make it on our own. Our flesh says, no, we don't want to change. You deserve to be mad. You deserve to do this. And God says, no, I have a better way for you. You know, Acts 2:38, and Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So repent and you will be forgiven. By repenting and believing in Christ that He did die for your sin, and then God gives you a way to repent. It's the Holy Spirit, and we're not alone in this. Repent, therefore, turn back that your sins may be blotted out. And Psalms talks about that too. As far as the east is from the west, God forgives us. Repentance is a part of that, though, and I just think we need to, it's not by works, but it's through the Holy Spirit that we follow the Holy Spirit, God's leading, and it leads us through those experiences that are difficult for us,
Oh, yeah. They are difficult because of this flesh that we have. But, Nancy, I know the Holy Spirit comes to bring conviction. He lets us know, hey, something is wrong right here. The other half of that equation is us, and then we have a choice to make. That part is on us. Talk about that, our relationship to the Holy Spirit, our response to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, you know, it's a choice. It's a choice to follow or ignore the leading of the Holy Spirit, you know, and we can choose to forgive. That doesn't come easy to our flesh. We choose. And, you know, in times like that, obeying the Holy Spirit will lead to repentance. That will always result in a heart change. This is the thing. Through the Holy Spirit, our heart will change. And we'll see a change of action. We'll see the way we think in the way we act and respond to the Holy Spirit. Because repentance leads to life, and it's a necessary part of salvation. God commands everybody to repent and have faith, to repent, to choose to turn. And it's not just a little turn, as you mentioned earlier, Steve. It's a 180-degree turn, going in the different direction in our thinking, in the way we love, and the way we live. Again, In 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone come what? To repentance. This is what God is calling us to do. Unless we do, we become exhausted, feather lights in our walk. And God's looking for strength. He's looking for courage in us that comes through the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on in Luke 15, I will tell you in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents over the 99 righteous persons who don't need to repent. In other words, God celebrates when we come to him and we say, I can't do this anymore. You know, Lord, through your strength, I want to turn. I want to stop this way of living. And in Mark 1:5, the time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. He's with us. He is with us, cheering us on. Look, I want you to have a life to the full. You can't have it unless you repent, you know, and live through me, through my spirit that lives in you. Oh, my goodness, this sounds so easy, and I understand. This is not that easy, but boy, there is a way for us to live.
It isn't, but by God's grace, we have his word, and one of my favorite places to spend time in his word, of course, is in the Psalms. And David, yes, we see it over and over and over again. He needs to repent. He needs to repent. Yes. So what can we actually learn from David, that model that we see in him, a man who is after God's own heart, but yet so fallible? What can we learn from that?
Yes, and I think it just to dive into the Psalms, and you know, it's not easy. David makes it very clear, you know, as well as Paul, it's not easy. But David reminds us that God does not delight so much in the outward signs of repentance, you know, including making sacrifices, or as some of us do sometimes, make a deal with God. Well, if you do this, then I'm going to do this. No, you know, but in the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Oh, God. You will not despise from Psalm 51:17. And we're not talking about the shame and condemnation that the enemy wants to heap on us, but we want to talk about just a personal in our heart, a godly grief that says, God, I have grieved you. And we see this in David. He uses three different words to describe his confession. He acknowledged his sin. He refused to cover his iniquity, and he was determined to confess his transgressions. And in Psalm 51:4, David declares, against you, God, only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. And although David took advantage of Bathsheba sexually, conspired to kill her husband, Uriah, disgraced his own family, did betrayed the trust of the nation of Israel. He saw his sin preeminently against God and God alone. And, you know, David teaches us in here there's no cutting corners or moral compromise. We cannot make excuses. And David doesn't rationalize anything. And he refuses to shift the blame. And these ideas come from Sam Storms, who writes in on this so well. This whole idea of facing it ourselves and coming to God and saying, this is me, and I have got to change. We can be prone going through the motions when it comes to repenting, but these passages show that the most important thing is the condition of our heart. Again, God looks on the heart, and God loves us when we confess because it frees us up from being separated from him. And those of us who are saying, Lord, why am I so distant from you? It's because we need to go to God. God, show me where I have gotten off the track. And through the Holy Spirit, show me how I can correct my course. You know, it's like sailing, correcting your course. And this is what God wants us to do. And he offers it up for us. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is pulling us through the Holy Spirit into this idea of confession and adjusting our course, staying on the track that God called us to. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but he is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, that all come to repentance. Over and over again, this is such an important thought that Peter brings to us in 2 Peter. The Lord is calling us. He's patient with us, but he's not going to allow us the easy way. We cannot do it in our own strength. We have to go through him, because then we can have real, true change, and our lives will change.
Yeah. Well, Nancy, what if you choose, number one, what if you choose unrepentance? And two, if you're saved and you just decide you're going to stop repenting, grace should be enough.
Yeah. Well, that's not a good idea. You know, in light of the scriptures, and I'm telling you, this is where it gets tough, and God loves, he's kind, he's generous, he gave his life for us, and I don't think we begin to understand what it cost him to die for our sins, or we would have a different attitude. But in light of the scriptures, choosing unrepentance is therefore a serious sin with dire consequences. An unrepentant life in a state of disobedience to God, choosing by choice continue to live in sin and ignoring the gifts of grace. And these people, I'm just telling you, I don't care how they identify themselves. Oh, no, I'm a Christian. Well, from God's perspective, that's between you and God. But Christ said that these people who choose to continue sinning will remain unsaved until they turn from their sin and embrace Christ's sacrifice of death on the cross for the sins of their people. And you know, he gives us this gift, this incredible gift of forgiveness. And to walk away from that, I can't imagine. But our flesh is strong, you know, and that's the battle we face. The Apostle Paul warned of the consequences of unrepentance. This is what Paul says. Because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed, and God will repay each person according to what they have done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking, who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. there will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil. And this is the thing, you know, and people talk about, wow, Christ is returning soon. We better give ourselves a personal check because a judgment is coming. It is because Scripture says it is. And for those who believe in Christ and have chosen to live actively for Christ, not for themselves, is a lifestyle of repentance, a humility, this idea of humbling ourselves and following Christ. Their judgment will be righteousness and beauty. But the consequences of unrepentance will be harsh, scary. And, you know, just speaking for those who identify as Christians and are playing some sort of a stubborn game with God, I'm going to do my own thing. And who care more about how others see them rather than humility or humbling themselves before God and live in humbly. I'll tell you, there's some scary stuff in Scripture, and this Matthew 7, just listen to this, and this just brings us all to focus how important it is to in your heart, humble yourself and go before God. You can fool a lot of people, but God is never fooled, and he because he sees your heart. So it says here in Matthew 7:7-23, so every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased trees bear bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And on that day, many will say to me, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. And again, God says, come to me, all who are weary. I will give you rest. So God gives us a very clear choice. We can either choose to fake it and not come to God and not humble ourselves before God for whatever reason, or we can put down our anger and all our junk and say, God, living this way is exhausting. I need to come to you and repent of my selfish, stubborn ways. And Scripture is so clear. He just so wants to forgive us and walk with us. He died for it, you know?
Well, Nancy, I know that those are 11 of the most scariest words that somebody can absolutely ever hear in their ear. Yeah. But, you know, an answer to that is what we see, because I love that you referenced Psalm 51 earlier and you pointed to verse 4. But shortly thereafter, in 10 through 12, he says, yeah. Lord, create in me a clean heart. Renew the right spirit within me. Cast me not out of your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me, because he can't restore himself. He knows that. He's telling the Lord, he's asking him, restore me to the joy of your salvation. He can't do anything on his own, and uphold me with your willing spirit, because he's recognizing, I can't do any of this of my own accord. Right. I need you to do it supernaturally. And that's what we all need.
And through the Holy Spirit, like he said, you know, don't take it from me, because that is the key. It's the key to our heart.
Yeah.
And wow, once we get that in our mind, then, you know, our life becomes, yes, it's difficult, but we're never alone. And God will give us the strength to do the right thing.
Well, I tell you, you know, this is something that I believe that obviously needs to be heard by every single one of us, because this is a constant reminder, yeah. Kelly, mm-hmm. about our sinful nature. It creeps in,
yes.
and sometimes even quietly, and we just don't even recognize we're in it. And then something like this comes along and convicts us. And then we go, oh, wait a minute.
Oh, that is so true.
Yeah. I'm not 180 degrees. I'm 179.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm 176 degrees away. But there is a little tiny piece of me that is still back there.
Well, and that is why we need the Spirit. And we had better pay attention, truly. Because it does creep in. And the next thing you know, you are immersed and you are not living as you should be living. And
verily,
you think you're just fine.
Verily, verily.
Yeah.
Well, Nancy,
absolutely.
Go ahead.
And one last thing, you know, Satan's voice is so subtle. You deserve to be angry. You know, these subtle little things, and you know, or you deserve to pay that person back. And those are not the voice of God. We don't have to be like that.
No.
So this whole message, I think, on repentance is so freeing, because we don't have, we can't repent on our own, really. And that's the good news for us. We can do it through God and God alone. There you go.
We are what is known as a hot mess, Kelly.
I know. And yet he provided a way for what he requires of us. He took care of everything.
Yeah.
We're out here making it hard again. So, Nancy, thank you. Thank you for this today.
Thank you.
Hey, I want to encourage you to go to anchorsaway.org if you're interested in understanding the Christian worldview in a deeper way. There are some really great tools over there. I want to encourage you, if you're in a small group or if you're a pastor and you're responsible for maybe small groups or in teaching, Smoke, Mirrors, and God. It's an outstanding Bible study. I want to encourage you, get yourself some and pick it up. Share it with somebody, hand it to your pastor, and say, hey, I think we need to do this. Great resources over there, anchorsaway.org.
You're listening to Mornings with Kelly and Steve on Moody Radio, from the Word to Life.